Welcome, and thank you for joining today's conference, California ISO Media Briefing. Before we begin, please ensure you have opened the chat panels by using the associated icons located at the bottom of your screen. If you require technical assistance, please send a chat to the event producer. All connections are muted at this time. With that, I'll turn the call over to Steve Berberick, CEO and President of California ISO. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Steve Berberick. I hope you are all well. We wanted to take the opportunity to brief you again. I know it's important for you to be able to reach out to your constituencies with the good information. So I'll give you a brief overview of yesterday and today and then tomorrow. Yesterday, we had a peak of 47,121 megawatts. Today's forecast is actually, the day ahead was a bit higher than that, was 47,381. Our real-time forecast as of about an hour ago is 46,818. Tomorrow, we expect 46,300. So loads are going to continue to be fairly high. Monday and Tuesday of this week, the conservation efforts are the reason and probably the only reason we were able to get through those days without any kind of load disruptions. On both days at approximately 3 o'clock, you see a very dramatic and very unusual turn in the load curve. And I'm certain that that was, you know, small generators that come online in the afternoon as they promised, as well as conservation efforts, probably in the order of about 4,000 megawatts. And had that not occurred, there's no doubt that we would have had disruptions. It's hard for us to predict how much response we will get, but we are more than gratified with what everybody has produced. Yesterday, between the hours of 2 and 3 o'clock, we had a very challenging operating environment. The rest of the West was still very hot. There was great competition for imports, and there were a couple of other entities in the West that were in emergency situations, and so they too were under duress and taking extra energy. So we had to compete with that. I think the operators did a great job of getting through that, of finding the necessary megawatts. They were able to stretch it till 3 o'clock when all the conservation efforts happened, and we made it through. Today, the situation looks very similar to yesterday, with a few exceptions. Number one, we do have a better import scenario than yesterday. Number two, wind is much higher than yesterday. I was down in the control room a few minutes ago, and I believe we had 1,500 megawatts thereabouts of wind on the system. And yesterday at this time, it was much lower than that. Solar is much higher today, too. It seems to not be suffering from the cloud cover issues that we encountered yesterday. So as I speak right now, absent the loss of any big units or transmission lines, we do not expect any load disruptions. We do, however, need, we're counting on those conservation measures for me to be able to say that. Today, we've asked that they start at 2 o'clock. Because of that difficult operating environment we experienced yesterday from 2 to 3, instead of waiting until 3, from 2 to 9, it's absolutely critical that we once again get the conservation that we need. And we are quite mindful that people are fatigued. We believe if we can get through today, the load numbers start to come down as the week goes on, and then we get into the weekend. Monday still looks like a pretty high day, but we'll address that as we get closer and have a better idea of the forecasts as well as resources on the system. So that's the general overview. Operator, at this point, I'm happy to take questions.
To ask a question over the phone, please press pound 2 on your telephone keypad to enter the question queue. You'll hear a notification when your line is unmuted. At that time, please state your name, affiliation, and your question. Once again, pressing pound 2 will indicate that you wish to ask a question. We have several questions in the queue. Moving on to the first caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Marisa Kendall calling from the Mercury News. Two quick questions for you. One, have all of the wildfires impacted our power supply, or are you worried that they will? And two, I noticed that the capacity this morning jumped up from a reported 49,000 about megawatts to about 53,000. And I was wondering what caused that, if any new power sources came online or if that's just typical fluctuation or what?
Sure. As far as the wildfires go, they are not impacting us yet, stressing the word yet. We are well aware of the proclivity for fires in these kind of heat conditions. We often do have issues with fires burning under or around transmission lines in particular, but as I speak, we don't have anything being threatened, so at least we don't have that to deal with. As far as the capacity number, that does jump around, probably is indicative of additional imports that are available to us. I note that it has reserves in it, and it's a highly variable number, but we do expect to be able to meet our obligations today. With the conservation measures.
Moving on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi there. This is Colby Bermel from Politico. I had a question and a follow-up question, if that's all right. My first question is, I want to clarify about the demand curves over the past week. Monday and Tuesday's day-ahead forecasts were much higher than the actual demand experienced on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So does that mean that CAISO should have issued lower day-ahead forecasts for Monday and Tuesday, given the actual demand experienced in the days before?
Well, let me take that first. I think the answer is no, and let me explain. On let me use Monday as an example. Monday, the load pull in the morning on Monday was probably best described as frightening. We had 46,000 megawatts on the system, John, by one, two.
Yeah, closer to one, yeah.
As John says, that was the peak on Friday. By 1 o'clock, we had 46,000 megawatts on the system already. Absent the load curve turn at 3 o'clock, we would have not made it. And the same condition existed yesterday. The load pulls were very, very heavy. And if the load hadn't turned at 3 o'clock, roughly, like they did, we would not have made it. So the forecast was right, but the conservation is what we would. Let me put it this way: the forecast was right. We wouldn't have made the forecast. We just simply could not have served that much load. So the conservation efforts were everything.
Got it. Thank you. And my second question, thanks for the time, is regarding solar and storage. What can CAISO and or the state agencies do to bridge the gap between right now, when we have lots of solar but not enough storage, and the future, when storage will be more caught up with solar?
It's a good question, Colby, and I'd like to answer it broadly and then kind of drill down a little bit. First, storage is generally fairly quickly deployable, and I do think we ought to the state agencies and the ISO are going to collaborate on system needs and making sure we meet them short-term and long-term, and I think storage can play an important role in that. I want to note, though, this is where I want to drill down. Let's examine yesterday as an example. We had, John, 10,000 megawatts of solar at one point on the system. That solar was committed to serving load, so it could not have been deployed to charge batteries. You need to have enough to serve load and charge the batteries, and you have to have surplus conditions on the system. So batteries, I think, can help in the short run, but they do have to be charged. That implies that you have to add capacity to the system so that on days like Monday and Tuesday or Friday and Saturday or today, you have enough in storage to carry you forward, particularly on a really heavy stretch of days like we've had. We could have charged some at night, but we wouldn't have had the solar online, so we would have had a very difficult time charging the storage if we had it. You have to add companion energy to charge the storage. So I think that has to be part of the conversation, both short and long term.
And do you see any other viable storage options besides lithium ion batteries? I know that there's long duration options out there.
We think that storage across the entire spectrum needs to be considered as part of the resource mix. Long duration storage, and by that we mean multi hour, 12 plus hour storage. We're going to need short duration storage, 4 to 6 hours, and which could help on days like today. If it was charged, it would help you get over the peak in the afternoon. We also need to consider seasonal storage. In the spring, think about this. This spring, we curtailed more. We were on a rate of curtailing our solar twice as much as we did last year. And if we had a way, instead of curtailing that storage of that solar and using it and storing it someplace, that would be very helpful. So I think you need to have storage across the entire spectrum.
Moving on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's J.D. Morris from the San Francisco Chronicle. I was wondering, so Governor Newsom at his presser just now mentioned something about how he was expecting some kind of response, I think, from the PUC, the Energy Commission, and you guys delivered to him today, maybe a letter or something like that. I wasn't quite sure what he was talking about, and hoping you could explain that a little more.
Well, the governor sent the CEC, PUC, and the ISO a letter earlier this week. I don't remember exactly what day it was we got it. And he had asked what happened and what we're going to do about it, basically, and charged. And so the three entities are working on a response to that. And I would expect that to be to the governor in short order, if not already. I'm not sure. Is that responsive to your question?
Yeah. Will that be public? I'm just wondering when to expect that, because I'd like to read it, obviously.
Yeah, I would anticipate it would be public.
Okay, I'll look out for that.
I think his letter to us has been released to the public.
Oh yeah, no, I saw that. I just didn't realize that there was a response coming today, but maybe I missed it. There's a lot going on.
Think it's out. I don't think it's out yet.
Okay. Lastly, why 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. today instead of 3 to 10?
The reason being is because yesterday we had a fairly difficult struggle between 2 and 3, and we've had the conservation efforts kicking in at 3. Today, given the grid conditions we're faced with, we need it to start at 2. It can end a little bit earlier because imports will help us in the evening, later evening hours after 9, but yesterday we really could have used it, and today we're asking for earlier conservation.
moving on to the next caller. Before asking your question, I request you to please state your name, affiliation. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Kasia Mysik with S&P Global Platts. It looked like the S&P 15 or the SP 15 L&P set back-to-back record highs this week. Looks like it's the highest since 2018. So I was hoping you could confirm that and just comment on those high prices.
Yeah. So yeah, we do observe. This is Mark Rothfitter, Vice President of Market Policy and Performance. Yeah, we do see those high prices. They're indicative of the high energy system energy prices, but also the localized transmission constraints into the area. So yeah, those are what we're observing.
All right, thanks so much.
Moving on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hey, this is Chris Ancarlo with KFI in Los Angeles. A couple of questions just based off of what the governor said about an hour ago. One is that he said there was more hydropower that was brought online yesterday. I'm curious as to what he was talking about and maybe why that was just tapped into. And then I am also curious, he mentioned Chevron and Tesla, and there was another oil company thrown in there, basically thanking them for their efforts. I'm just curious about their efforts in helping out yesterday.
Sure. As far as the hydro goes, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, or you, John, but Hetch Hetchy, as an example, was run yesterday to help us. I believe it was out of the norm for it to run. Maybe it's got low water. So John, I don't know if you can comment on Hetch Hetchy's condition.
Generally, I'm going to say it's actually a resource that typically feeds the city, county, San Francisco area. And I believe that what they did is they allowed it to go beyond that and serve it the California ISO load. But you're right. Typically, it is something that's not as much capacity behind it, so they try to save it for the later in the year.
Yeah. So Hetch Hetchy was able to help us. The Department of Water Resources also has some generating capability, and essentially they redirected it for our use and moved probably – I can't be precise, but I suspected what they did is they limited their pumping to and used their generation to serve load, and we're deeply appreciative of that cooperation. Then, as it relates to the industrial companies you talked about, it came in several forms. Some of them have backup generation and cogeneration, and they ran that to either take their load off the system or to give us additional power. And in some cases, they did a combination of that where they ran their backup generators to feed back into the grid, and at the same time, they curtailed their own operations so that they would take that load off the system. Tesla helped us both with their power walls, but also they helped us by limiting their plant's consumption in Fremont as an example.
And just real quick, I'm curious about LADWP. They said they sent along, I think it was 700 megawatts yesterday. Does that jive with the numbers that you have, and are you expecting more energy from LADWP today?
We did get – LA has been very helpful. They brought on some plants that they didn't have on to provide power to us. That and I don't know the numbers precisely. If that's what they told you, that's probably a fair number. We have seen several hundred megawatts across the hours. It varies by hour because it kind of shapes to the load curve. But if that's what they're telling you, I don't have any reason to dispute that.
All right, thank you.
As a reminder, before asking your question, I request you to please state your name and affiliation. Moving on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. It's Dale Kassler with the Sacramento Bee. Two questions, if you don't mind. Steve, you basically said as long as a big plant doesn't go down, you should be okay this afternoon or this evening, as long as you get conservation. Can you put a number to that? Just how much conservation do you need?
We would certainly like to get a couple thousand megawatts off the system to give us the cushion we would need to protect against the loss of a big plant or a big transmission line so that we're not so close to the edge. I think probably a couple thousand megawatts is a fair estimate.
And about how much conservation did you get yesterday?
If I had to swag it, I would guess 3,000 megawatts.
Thank
you. 2,000 to 3,000 megawatts.
Okay. Thank you. Second question. There's been a report that price caps have been eliminated for 30 days. Can you comment on that?
I can. That's not true.
Not true.
Yeah.
No changes in price caps whatsoever?
No, none whatsoever.
Thank you.
Just to be clear, there's not a price cap. There is a bid cap, and that bid cap has not changed.
The bid cap, okay. Isn't that the same as a price cap, functionally speaking?
No.
Well, explain it.
Okay. So a bid is what they bid into the market, the offer by which they, if we want to use them, that's how much they would need to be paid. The bid price does affect the ultimate price, but it's the marginal bid price used, but it's not a price cap. And just furthermore, you can have prices that reflect not only system prices, but localized congestion prices. And those localized congestion prices can be higher because of network congestion conditions. It can be higher than what the bid cap is.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Moving on to the next caller.
And more on the phone.
Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Nicola Groom with Reuters. Wondering if you could say, if you have any idea how much of the conservation is actually conservation versus companies or households moving to backup generation?
I don't have any empirical evidence. I'm always happy to offer my opinion. My observation would be that the vast majority of it would come from conservation based on when we make calls for historical calls for conservation and knowing kind of roughly how much sort of backup generation might be out there. I would think the significant majority of it is conservation.
And could you also say how Tesla helps with their Powerwall?
I prefer you ask them that question because I'm going to muck it up, if you don't mind.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Before asking your question, please state your name and affiliation. Moving on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Elizabeth McCarthy with California Current. Steve, you said earlier this week that the ISO was going to do an analysis of the supply shortages, and the governor directed that a root cause analysis be done in his August 17th letter. When do you think that will be completed? And I'm assuming it's being done along with the PUC and the Energy Commission.
We're going to do the CEC and the PUC and the ISO are going to work closely together to make sure we come up with a common number of what we think the capacity should be on the system, but also what the capacity is on the system. Last fall, I doubt you probably attended any of our board meetings, but we presented.
Actually, I did.
Oh, okay. Well, we presented the capacity shortfall in our that we saw coming starting in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll see on the slide that we had was that the load had the distinct possibility of being high enough to get into uncontracted imports and to have to rely on uncontracted imports to meet the load. And we noted that those resources were not certain. You couldn't have certain, they weren't under contract, and we had no certainty that we would be able to get them. So sure enough, that's basically what transpired. We got into loads where we had to rely on imports to meet, and the uncontracted resources weren't there because the rest of the West was hot. That's the situation that played out.
And didn't you also say the differences between what you required for suggested for resource adequacy versus the 3,300 that was adopted by the PUC was a difference?
It was, and you can see that in the filings we made last year.
Okay, and so do you have a date of when that analysis of the shortages will be complete?
I don't.
A month? Weeks?
Well, it's hard for me to answer that question because it's going to have to be a collaborative initiative between the three organizations, and I can't speak to them. I could look across the table at our people and tell them I wanted it in 2 weeks, but I can't do that with the other organizations.
Okay, thanks.
We'll be taking one more question. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
This is Sharon McNary at KPCC, Southern California Public Radio. I'm trying to understand why LADWP, which is not part of the ISO, has so much extra energy that it can provide it to the ISO when the demand is peaking on days like this.
Well, that's a long question. Oh, it's a long answer to your question. All right, let me try to take it apart a little bit. First, LA may not have, well, their peak load, I think, all-time peak load was somewhere in the order of 7,900 megawatts. And yesterday, John, do you know what they were pulling?
I'm going to say about 6,500.
I hope you heard that. We think they were pulling about 6,500 for their load. So they have significant load reductions because of the coronavirus and businesses and companies that are shut off. So they have some extra headroom on their system right now, and they're able to help us out.
Thank you.
Operator, I think we're done.
Sure.
Thank you.
No problem. That concludes our conference. Thank you for using AT&T Event Services. You may now disconnect.